It is good to be here this morning as we're here to study those things of divine nature. We're here to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I was just thinking as I was studying here the other day, either we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or we're going to grow corrupt. But we're going to grow one way or the other. And we want to make sure that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to talk about the crucifixion. They led him away, talked about Christ. In Matthew 27, we're going to be going to some different scriptures, the Gospel of John and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As we look at this phrase, they led him away. They led him away. And we'll read Matthew 27, verses 1 and 2. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they laid him away. That's what I'm looking at. They laid him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. They laid him away. I have a comment or two I want to make concerning this. In the night and morning prior to Jesus' crucifixion, the Son of God suffered many ignobilities, and the people were ignorant. The people that crucified Christ were ignorant. They didn't really know what they were doing. They knew that they were crucifying a man, but they really didn't know that they were crucifying Christ. He went through a whole lot. I went through a lot for you and me. Illegal trials. Hell during the night. He was shuffled back and forth before different authorities. They had him all over the place, trying to find some dirt on him and sin, and he never sinned. Falsely accused him, mocked and physically abused him. There is a phrase used several times that may be used to summarize this ill treatment. That phrase is, they led him away. It, or a variation, is found about 8 times in the Bible. In Matthew 26 and 57, we're going to be reading some scriptures here. Matthew chapter 26 and 57. Matthew 26 and 57. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Look at Matthew chapter 27 and 2. Matthew 27 and 2. We read that just a few minutes ago, but look at that again. And when they had bound him, they laid him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. In Matthew 27 and 31. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Isn't that something? That was Matthew 27 and 31. But let's look what Mark has to say. Mark 15, 1 through 5. Mark 15. Mark chapter 15, 1 through 5, where Mark, he records and tells us, immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." Look at verse 5. But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. And I thought about that. Sometimes when people accuse you of something, just sometimes we don't have to say anything. I know sometimes we need to defend ourselves. Of course, Jesus didn't do that because Jesus knew that he would have to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. So in this case, he didn't answer nothing. And I thought about that. I said, sometimes you don't have to defend yourself. Just don't say nothing. In Luke 23 and 26, I thought there was something to consider in our lives. You don't always have to go just answer people. Sometimes the best thing to do is don't say anything, because what they're going to try to do, whatever you say, they're going to misrepresent it and try to trap you. In Luke 23, and look at verse 26. Luke 23 and verse 26. Okay. Now, as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrene, who was coming forth the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breast which never nursed.'" I want to make a comment here. If you see that phrase in 29, "for indeed the days are coming," he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem is coming. But my point, I want to look at verse 29. The suffering of Jesus would be terrible but brief. It would be brief. The suffering at the destruction of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, would be long and drawn out. Those who have children will not suffer, but they will watch their children suffer and die. Therefore, it would be better to be without children at that time. I was thinking about that, and I'm not turning over there, 1 Corinthians 7, during the present distress, whatever was happening at that time, a war, whatever, Paul was saying it was best not to get married at that particular time because of the present stress. Sometimes it's just the time is not right for people to get married, to have children, because of situations that's happening in the world. But here he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. But if you look at verse 30, then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Why? A quick death for some people feel like it's better just get it over with than to drag it out. So they're saying for the mountains to fall on us. And I think we can see this about three times in the New Testament where people had rather for the mountains to fall on them. When Jesus come, they'd rather for something happen to them. But that don't matter. You know, they still going to have to be judged. Then they would begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? I kind of looked up and spent a little time on green and dry. Green and dry are used figuratively, meaning trees that are alive are dead. Trees that are alive are dead, and in the application, they present a righteous person. One of them means a righteous person, and the other means an unrighteous person. Let me look at that again. Verse 31. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? And so, like I said, in the application, they presented a righteous and an unrighteous person. That's what it means. And we know that Christ was righteous. He never done any wrong. And yet they were trying to accuse him of doing wrong. All right, but look at verse 32. There were also two other criminals led with him to put to death, him to be put to death. And then verse 33, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. In verse 34, now watch this. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. See, the Roman soldiers, as we think about this, and you all have seen some of this on television, have read it before. But the Roman soldiers had no way of knowing that Jesus was Christ, the Son of God. They had no way of knowing. They were carrying out their orders. So all they were doing, they were just carrying out the orders of those who were in authority. The Jewish leaders who rejected him did not believe that he was the Son of God. Pardon me. The crowd followed the leaders and did not realize they were watching the death of the Son of God. They didn't know. It is true, they did not know what they were doing. And Jesus prays that they might be forgiven. They didn't know. In John chapter 18 and 13, we're getting close to the end of the lesson. In John chapter 18, and 13. John 18 and 13. In John 18 and verse 13, and they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. So they just laid him away, had him all over the place, from one ruler to the next ruler, trying to find fault. But since when, John, look at John 19 and 16. John chapter 19 and verse 16. But I know I'm moving to different scriptures, that's okay. In John 19 and 16, then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. Verse 17, and he bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. And we know there was the two others were thieves, according to Matthew 27:38, which I'm not going to read that. Being led around like this was fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Now, I'm not going to read Isaiah 57, I'm not going to read that, Isaiah 53 and 57, but Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Jesus suffered in our stead and for our sins, because he didn't do anything. Like I said, he never sinned. And as I was studying this, let's try hard to be faithful, to show our love for God, show our love for Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and be faithful to him, and try hard not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because when we do wrong, when we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's have a forgiving spirit. That's not easy. But it's something God wants us to, he wants us to have a forgiving spirit. Jesus did it. And they, like I said, they had him all over the place. But he still loved them. And he died for the people who had him all over the place. He died for even the soldiers when Jesus was on the cross or whatever. He died for the soldiers who pierced him in the side. And out came blood and water. And the blood is what bought the church. Forgiveness brings peace within us. I can remember the times that I didn't have that forgiving spirit. And at times, sometimes I still have to work on some things. But it's a weight on your shoulders that drags you down. And that's why Jesus said, forgive. Forgive one another. They led him away to face Annas' father-in-law, to Caiaphas. John records this meeting in his Gospels. In John chapter 18, and look at 12. John 18 and 12. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. John 18 and 12. I didn't read 12. I read. Then, let's look at 12, 18 and 12. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Now look at verse 13. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Then 14. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. See, they also led him away to Caiaphas. Caiaphas, the high priest. It was Caiaphas who, with others, plotted the arrest and death of Jesus. We're not going to Matthew 26:3. We're not going to read that one. Matthew 26:3-5. They still wasn't through with Jesus. They led him to face Pilate. And everybody knows about Pilate. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. We know about him. He didn't find no wrong in Jesus. Jesus had not done anything wrong. Pilate just kind of washed his hands up. And, you know, but he going to have to, it's not all over for Pilate, because at the judgment day, he's going to be judged. To whom Jesus was bound and delivered. Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor, to whom Jesus was bound and delivered. We read Matthew 27:2. They led him away to face Herod. Herod, king of the Jews. Before Herod, Jesus was questioned, but answered Herod nothing. Remember, we read that in Luke 23:9. Jesus was accused by the chief priests and scribes, Luke 23:10. And the scribes, from my understanding, was writers or secretaries, offering a choice between Jesus and Barabbas. Let's look at Matthew. We have one more here. Matthew 27:16. In Matthew 27:16, and we'll read down through 18. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. Isn't that something? They crucified Christ. And it was all in God's plan, and let Barabbas go. All of this is in God's plan, like I said. It had to be the way that it was. And in conclusion, Christ, he's done his part. And if man is lost, it's going to be his fault. It will be his fault. Because John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish." Didn't say he wouldn't perish. He should not perish. There's no excuse for a man to die lost. But that he should not perish, but that he will have everlasting life if he obeys God. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If there's someone out there who needs to obey the gospel, you've heard the gospel. Romans 10:17, Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So you must hear it, you heard it. Then you must believe the gospel. Mark 16:16, Jesus tells us, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Must repent of your sins. Luke 13:3, except you repent, Jesus tells us, you will perish. Must confess Christ before men. Matthew 10:32. Jesus tells us, "Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you." He gives us a choice. Either me, Jesus saying, or yourself, or somebody else. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. And that's the only question that we'll ask people once they've done those other things. They've heard it, they believe it, they repented of their sins. We're going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you make that public confession, then we baptize people in water for the remission of their sins. Got to be baptized. If you are a Christian and you have gotten off of the straight and narrow way, come back to the straight and narrow way. And God will forgive us. He wants us saved. And we have, as long as we're alive, we have time to do that. When we die, we will never get another chance. Let us come together and sing as together we stand and sing. Thank you.